Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Tuesday, November 20th. It is 2 days before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving week is upon us, and we've got a lot to talk about tonight. Recapping the crazy NFL week that we just had. We've got some college football, college basketball, and then some of our quick hitters this evening. We'll wrap up on that. Once again, we'll be joined by Jonathan Birdsong once he calls in here shortly. But should be a pretty good show. Just kind of recapping some of the action from the weekend. Really, let's talk a little sports gambling wise. I got killed this weekend. Not a good show for your boy. Ended up going 6-13. First time it was below the norm. So that is something that we will improve upon to finish out this year. And John, my man, how are you, sir?
Brandon Reed, how are we doing this evening?
Good, good. Just prepping up for the big Thanksgiving plans. How about yourself?
Same thing. Gonna have some a lot of people over out of town and whatnot, you know. So, but I ain't got to cook no turkey. So.
Yeah, I'll tell you who will not be having a good Thanksgiving, and that will be J.R. Smith.
Oh, man, this is an ongoing saga.
I can't – this is so Cleveland because
– somebody's going to trade for him. And it's still
Yeah, and this is so Cleveland that they're going to tank and they're going to go get Zion, who is one of the biggest names in college basketball. Just like when they were tanking to get LeBron way back, but even LeBron was a high schooler. But this is so Cleveland tanking. I hope they don't get him.
Hey, Brandon, you know, it's never necessarily a guarantee that they get him. You know, there's always a fixed end when it comes to the NBA. And if the powers be, you know, so choose want Zion Williams to go to, I don't know, maybe say the Orlando Magic, that's where he'll end up at.
Interesting. Interesting. I'll have to put that one in my back pocket.
You know what? There hasn't been a kid that actually said he didn't want to play for that team, forcing the trade in a long time. That hasn't happened
no.
either. So that's another scenario. Because right now we're in the smarter basketball world. So if I'm Zion Williamson and everybody sees, you know, next level, why would my agent or my management people want me to put me in a pocket? I get it. I'm getting millions of dollars. I'm getting $1 million check. Either way, though, right? Because he's going to get endorsement deals out the wazoo. So why would I put myself in a toxic situation where they don't know what the hell they're doing in Cleveland? They really don't.
Yeah. Fair point. I think it is interesting if Orlando comes beckoning or Atlanta.
Well, you know,
I can see him.
I say Orlando because they actually got a winning record. If we look at the standings, Orlando is like eighth right now if the playoffs start today. I know we're just a month in, but the playoffs are today. I think Orlando's like in the eighth spot.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, it's a long way to go. I mean, if you look a month ago, to even for me, and when we did our picks for the conferences, I had Washington as a top five team, maybe six in the East, and it is toxic in Washington.
Brandon, you got to read the tea leaves, man. You know, I hope people, you know, really, I take the time out to try to study, you know, things, you know, outside the norm. I just don't listen to other guys and recant stuff. But I do take other people. I said this before. I do take other people's opinions into question when I, you know, go with my knowledge, right? But just the off-season moves they made, and then the constant bickering that they had all last year, all reports of constant bickering they had last year, and then, you know, they traded off Gortat. I do believe, and brought in, you know, Mr. Serviceable. At this point in his career, you know, Dwight Howard is he's an attraction. And I don't mean that in a bad way. There was attractions in the 80s, there's attractions in the 90s and whatnot, you know, as far as basketball. So everybody's you know this. I mean, I know you know this now, but everybody's not set out to want to win a championship. The organization doesn't. I mean, they're just, you know what I mean? So, but, you know, Washington talks a good talk. And, you know, sometimes they walked a good walk when they had lesser opponents. And sometimes they – I mean, I think maybe one year they stunned somebody. But that, it's time for them to have a wholesale fire center.
Oh yeah,
I don't know.
Absolutely,
I don't know what you get with John Wall. John Wall has when he's playing, he's an incredible basketball talent to watch. Problem is, he does not have great leadership skills at all, and he plays a position that requires great leadership skills, and he's not always 100%. So it'd be a thing to deal with somebody who's a pain in the butt, but can play and is always out here for 82 games or, you know, 70-some games or whatnot. But he's not that guy. And he's not a leader. He hasn't matured since day one getting into the league. And that's sad because he, like I said, he has great, man. He has amazing talent. You ever seen him in, you know, between the lines, you know, he's like a roller skates. You know what I mean? Before they had all the non-hand checking rules that they have now. You know, he put guys on roller skates. The problem is he couldn't stay 100%. And he can't lead a team to nothing. So, if I'm the Pacers, I know we discussed about Pacers having a aspiring contract. I know I'm not at that point anymore. I've seen enough of the Pacers that I'm not. I know we have a lot of guys on 1 year deals and whatnot, and it'd be nice to bring in, you know what I'm saying, some supremely talented guys to make this real special Pacer run, but not those guys. I'm actually off the train of trading anybody off this Pacer team. You know, let these guys play out and see what happens in the summertime if we offer them a contract, or if, you know, Aaron Holiday is the heir apparent to Darren Collison. You know,
yeah.
At this point, at this point in his career, I assume Darren Collison, if he doesn't, if we don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, or let's say we do, let's say the Pacers do get to the finals. You know, Darren Collison, I could see him re-signing. I definitely could see if those things happen. Now, if we just get to, you know, semis, then I think everybody kind of parts ways, and then the Pacers is trying to make offers of who they can get, you know.
Yeah.
But
well, it's also, you know, with great, as you know, with great success, it opens up a bigger microscope for your players where other teams might be willing to pay that extra dollar for your players if they've done well for you.
Oh, yeah. That,
so that's where I see Collison could get a larger contract from another team than Indiana is like, you know what, we're going to part ways.
Yeah. I say Bojan, I tweeted somebody today, man. Bojan looks like he's playing for a contract. He hasn't made a bonehead like he did last year. Oh, my God, bonehead move. I mean, he's consistent, and they depend upon him to score, you know. Mm-hmm. And that don't just mean threes. They. I mean, and he's got to get his free throw shooting. You know, they all do.
The free throw shooting's the worst.
But for them, you know, for them to win without Victor Oladipo against a Utah team that was playoff that beat, you know, to beat somebody last year, you know, that was a. I think that was a key move for the Pacers to kind of keep this unit together.
Yeah, you know, it shows with Aaron Holiday. You talk about him and that kid. You know, he hasn't played. He had 10 DNF or did not play. Coach's decision. He came in on Saturday night, had 14 points in the third and fourth quarter, brought the Pacers back against the Atlanta Hawks, and it was pretty much the key drive right there for the Pacers to win that game. And you thought maybe, you know what, as a good fill in for one night. He does it again Monday night against the Jazz. He had another great game. I liked what I saw from him. I don't think he's going to take any minutes once Victor's back from the rest. I think if there's a spot for him at that time, they'll bring him in. But it's just two games. So let's let him continue to grow
right.
And build.
Well, the Pacers said they wanted to play up-tempo. They wanted to play small. So I can't imagine. They won't go that small, but there's going to be times when they're going to have to rest. Not only Victor Oladipo's knees, they're going to have to rest Darren Collison's knees because his knees ain't the greatest either. So this is good faith building, with the coach, actually, because I don't think the coach thought he could handle NBA, you know, rigors. That maybe that's why he got a lot of DNPs, you know what I mean? And now you got to put him in rotation. Because if somebody, somebody's off or somebody's hurt, you got to put him in rotation. So he's definitely in conversation of showing the Pacers depth right there.
Right. I told my buddy last night, I guess the game was Monday night. Was it last night? Yeah. I said, we're looking at Joe Ingles and Bojan both going up and down the court. It looked like a LA Fitness rec league ball with those two just running up and down.
Man,
just
Joe
kicking
Ingles
and popping.
He's a little off early part of the season, man. He's the one that kind of outplayed Paul George that last playoff run from last year. And he's a little off this year. He's a little off right now. So I hope I like the Jazz. I'm not a Jazz fan. I like the Jazz, small market team that always is there in conversation. And I hope they can get their team to act together because right now I think they're out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and Grayson didn't get much play, and he played a little bit late there in the fourth quarter. That's about all he got.
Again, man, the coach got to believe in putting you in rotation. You know, so
he can
play. We know this.
Oh yeah. I have one last stat, big nugget stat line for the Pacers. Before we move on to football, they showed on the graphic the other night. I think it was last night during the Pacers game that defensively, points allowed, they're averaging giving up 101 points, 0.4. That's second in the league. The opponent's field goal percentage shooting at 43%. That's first in the league. The defensive rating is 103.2. That's third in the league. And then the points off turnovers is 20.9, almost 21 points. And that's third in the league. Secretly, this Pacers team defensively is a juggernaut. I mean, they're top three in every category.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I think a lot of people kind of panicked because they wanted the Pacers to come out and be, you know, 11-3. And, you know, things kind of got to – the knees got to go – just like the knees got to warm up, the season got to warm up. So now we're seeing the fruits of that.
Absolutely. Speaking of warming up, the Indianapolis Colts have warmed up this season. They're hot. They've won four straight. They're sitting at 5-5, not out of it for the division or the wild card currently. 38-10 victory over the Tennessee Titans, who Mariota went out. Gabbert couldn't do much. Andrew Luck, 23-29, 300 yards almost, three touchdowns. Rushing game, Mack only had 61 yards. But your boy, T.Y. Hilton, on Reggie Wayne Appreciation Day, Ring of Honor, 9 catches, 155 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, the Pacers, the Colts showed out. And again, it feels like, you know, going into these games week by week because the Colts put themselves in such a hole, there's still an amount of skepticism. Like, people are still, like, kind of concerned about, like thinking that the Dolphins could actually beat us. Like, again, depends actually, and I'll comment on this game as well. But the Pens actually beat some teams, but we're playing. They play well this season, but we're playing better. So I don't know why the skepticism from week by week. Again, we put the past behind us. We put the past chump teams behind us between Buffalo and the Redskins, and now we see what the Colts can be, what they are. Is that good enough to win out? They gotta do more than just keep on winning. I mean, that's an important part, but they gotta hope that Houston loses, because I don't know if two teams are gonna get from the AFC South.
Right. It should be interesting. Houston, yeah, I mean they had a nice win at Washington, beating them 23-21. Really thought that was going to be Washington's game. It probably could have been if Alex Smith didn't break his leg.
Yeah, that was gruesome.
Joe Theismann said it was about as bad as his own. I don't know what you did. You end up seeing the injury?
I don't know. No, I don't watch. I don't. Somebody, you know, people post things like that, man. It flashes up and then I automatically click.
You talking about me? You talking about me?
No,
I know I posted it.
I didn't see it on your. Maybe I got my feeds up where, you know, at the
you block it off, filter it.
Block it. Yeah, yeah, but no. No, I don't know. Financially, Alex Smith got to be, you know, ready to retire. You would think.
I mean, your answer is not going to be Colt McCoy.
Well,
so here's my question.
Quarterback. Go ahead.
So with the Redskins losing now, moving to 6-4, you've been on this team, you've been fighting this team now for the last 3-4 weeks. I'm talking Stephen A's team. I'm talking Skip Bayless's team. I'm talking the Dallas Cowboys, who went into Atlanta and won 22-19. Is it the Cowboys division now with Alex Smith out?
They banana peeled themselves, slipped into winning the NFC least. So long as they don't blow it. But because what Troy Aikman said 2 weeks ago still rings true, Brandon. Does it not? This is not like, okay, they'll win the East. Do you trust them against the Saints?
No.
That's a joke. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think who else is division. Oh, against Chicago?
Yeah, the Rams.
Oh my God, the Rams will show out.
The Cowboys aren't going to do anything, but I mean they could win the division. That was my question.
What's that now?
I said that was my. I mean, I'm not expecting them in the playoffs much, but my question was, have they opened themselves up to a division now?
It's their division. Philadelphia's done.
Now, I will tell you this, that division's so bad that the New York Football Giants are only three games out of first place.
Yeah, but they got a murderous row coming up. They got to play the Colts, and they got another – they got to play Philadelphia. Well, who knows? They're a lot of tie against Philadelphia next week, but they got to play the Colts, so they ain't winning against the Colts. Sorry.
Oof. I don't know. So Cowboys did win. Next game, the Ravens took on the Bengals. Ravens won 24-21. Lamar Jackson got his first start. John, if your quarterback has 27 rushes for 117 yards, surely you can't keep up that pace and stay healthy.
You know, it's a head scratcher to me, and they won the game, but no, they're going to have to figure out how to utilize the pass more. He can pass, but you can't. He's rushing. He's running the ball a little bit too much because eventually somebody's going to catch him and hurt him.
Yeah. Probably the head scratcher game of the week, the Detroit Lions and the Panthers. Ron Rivera, they score a touchdown with less than a minute to go, no timeouts, and instead of kicking the extra point to go to overtime, and they are the superior team. They go for two. Riverboat Ron goes for two. They don't get it. Cam Newton could have easily ran it in instead of throwing it from where he was at. Good call, bad call. What do you think?
You know, that team is bonded, so it's probably a bad call. Now that you look at it, right? Cam should have ran it in, you know, instead of passing it.
Well, I mean, even going for it, I don't think. I mean, you're the better team. Now, if you're the underdog team and you're getting ready to go to overtime, I have a chance to go to overtime, I'd say, you know what, if you're the underdog, why not? This is your shot to win it. But you're superior, better than Detroit. Your players are better than Detroit. I think you just take the point, you go to overtime, and you go from there.
Yeah, and it gives a whole lot of Detroit fans hope that Detroit is going to actually win the Cup.
Yeah. The next game, my favorite, Steelers 20, Jaguars 16. Steelers down 16-0 going into the 16-6 going into the fourth quarter. Steelers scored with 2 seconds to go in the third. Pittsburgh comes back. The defense ramped up. Play calling for Jacksonville was shaky at best. Blake Bortles, they did not give him a shot. They just kept running it. They kept running it with Fournette, and the Steelers decided to stack the box. And they had to punt. Piss poor clock management by Jacksonville. Bortles was 10 of 18 for 104 yards. That's not good. Roethlisberger, 27-47, 314 yards, two touchdowns, but three interceptions. Ramsey was getting picks, and then Ramsey got showed upon by AB and Juju, both of them over 100 yards in the game, mm-hmm. and it shut up a little Jalen Ramsey at the end of the game, crying and not wanting to talk to the press and such afterwards.
I wish I would have been in the room where Le'Veon Bell was at before all hell broke loose in Pittsburgh, ended up winning the game.
I thought it was over. I texted you. I thought the game was over. I was already ready to concede, go to next week, this week's game, and Jacksonville just never could score more. And if it's only 16-6, start of the fourth, you're like, damn, if we can just put something together, get one guy slipped, Antonio Brown, 70-some yard touchdown. And you're like, okay, we're in it. Get another stop. I was shocked that we won. Shocked.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Brandon, I think, like I said, Pittsburgh is going to win the division and going to have to prove if they can beat New England or Kansas City.
Yeah.
They still got a better record. They got a better record than New England now.
They do, by a half game.
Okay.
And it actually helps. The next game I was going to talk about, the Broncos upsetting the Chargers. The Chargers lose. Damn. That means Pittsburgh is up by them on a half game now, too. That was a shocker. At home against Denver.
I didn't catch any highlights of that game, nor did I watch that game. But like that was a little disappointing. Denver not being a complete team this year, and Chargers not necessarily been beating that Chargers bandwagon. I'm trying to find reasons to like the Chargers, to get behind them, to say, hey, there's somebody out there that can maybe challenge to put up numbers against the Kansas City Chiefs. But I don't think that's going to happen. But they laid an egg. They didn't lay an egg, but they didn't. They didn't come out. They made too many mistakes against Denver.
Yeah. If you look at the AFC standings, right now we're through 11 weeks. Kansas City 9-2. Pittsburgh's only a half game back of first. That is tumultuous. Have a crazy year it's been. Starting out 1-2-1. They're only a half game out of the number one seed right now.
Does any team, including the Colts, think they can out-gunsling the Kansas City Chiefs? They like the chances at home. They don't like their chances in Kansas City.
I think Pittsburgh. And not because I'm a fan, a huge diehard of Pittsburgh, but they've done it. They did it last year in the playoffs at Kansas City in a night game. There's a big difference between in the playoffs between a day game and a night game. And it was snowing.
Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes.
You're right. There is a difference between Smith and Mahomes. But there's one key factor, and that's Andy Reid. Andy Reid always shits the bed when it comes to the playoffs. You know that
Andy
from
Reid
the time
is,
in Philadelphia.
Andy Reid is the same constant. He will lay an egg. He will. That's what he does at some point.
I am not scared to go into Arrowhead.
Oh, man. Alrighty.
But looking at the other last three games of the week, Saints just destroyed the Eagles, took their identity 48-7. Saints are marching on, or marching in, as the song goes.
Yeah. Do they have a date with Chicago at some point?
Let me take a look while you're
regular season date.
I'm looking right now.
I don't think nobody else can beat them. I don't think anybody else can beat them. Not even their division. But their division all the time gets a little wacky.
I don't think they do. I'm already on week 15. Week 16. No, they do not play each other. They do not. Saints are rolling. Saints do have some. I mean, they've got Carolina twice to play. They still have Pittsburgh to play, even though it's in New Orleans. So that should be a high scoring affair. And actually, even if you look at Pittsburgh's schedule, Pittsburgh's got a very hard schedule the rest of the way too. They've got New England, they've got New Orleans, they've got San Diego. There's three tough games right there.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so the schedule gets even tougher for Pittsburgh, so it'll be still something to see. Bears win 25-20 over the Vikings. Mitchell Trubisky hurt a little bit. Questionable to play this Thursday night against the – or Thursday. Who they play? The Lions, I think? Yeah, Bears and Lions – hell of a flex game for the NFL to put them on Sunday Night Football, the last game of almost the last game of the week, and then you got to play 3 days later on Thursday for the Bears. A little interesting there, but Mitchell may not even be playing that game, so the Bears got a good win, sitting at 7-3 in the division. We've both said we think this division's locked up, especially with the Packers losing last Thursday night against the Seahawks.
Yeah, the Bears lose, but they shouldn't rush it. If you can't play, I wouldn't rush them out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Monday Night Football game, I think it was the highest scoring Monday Night Football game that we've seen. Also, probably the best game it's been on in at least a couple of years I could think of. Rams win 54-51, the shootout that we thought would happen. I actually thought the Chiefs played a better game than the Rams. What was your thoughts?
Andy Reid forgot to run the ball. He gets too happy with Mahomes. He gets too happy. I mean, who wouldn't? You know what I mean? The way they got, you know, delivers, but Andy Reid forgot to run the ball. And that's what the Rams, you know, constantly, and I know Tiger is better than, but not by far, it's not by much, you know, what we're talking about. But, man, awesome game. A lot of old folks come out of the woodwork saying how they liked the game but wasn't in love with it. I don't necessarily think this is the all-in-out, be-out, what everybody's going to go to. There's going to be some teams that try to mimic this style of play where you can score and score and score some more, right? But you gotta have the ponies to get 40 points. You know what I mean? You gotta have ponies to get 50 points. And everybody, those dudes ain't, those dudes just ain't everywhere. You can scheme a lot, but you gotta have the thoroughbred ponies to deliver that type of excitement. Goff was a cast off who every genius named Fisher. Jeff Fisher said he couldn't play. This dude looks like second reincarnation of Peyton Manning. Jeff Fisher should have a job. Jeff Fisher should have a job anywhere in football.
Right.
That was his last take. And then you got Mahomes, and you're right, dude. They looked like the better team. And again, they had the ball at the end. And again, it came up short, just like in New England.
Yeah, and your text message to me, you said interceptions, or the tweet, something you said to me, you said interceptions with Mahomes. And the fumbles. He had two fumbles, too.
It reminds me of a whole lot of, not how he throws the ball, but like what happens when he throws, like a Brett Favre, like the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know, Brett was a little different. Brett tried to throw in between people.
Yeah,
you know, make spectacular play, but that's what this is. But they'd be managing the game, and then Brett would try to do something that wasn't there, and then the game would be out of the Green Bay Packers' favor. So,
yeah,
it's similar to anything coach that guy too. So, I hope they get it together.
There was only one thing that I did not care for in that game. And that was the 21 penalties that messed up the flow of the game. The Chiefs had 13 penalties for 135 yards. Rams had eight penalties for 60 yards. Like, it was just both teams missing extra points. And I will tell you this. I don't know if you've seen SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt on Thursday nights or Monday nights. They have a section called Bad Beats. And I was on that section of Bad Beats last night. I had the Chiefs plus 170 money line for the first half. And the Chiefs scored a touchdown to tie the game. And I'm sitting there watching the game. I'm like, all right, I'm about to win this bet with about 6 seconds to go. And Butker misses the extra point. So lost that bet. I actually didn't lose it, pushed on it. But still, that was money I could have won easily if he would have made that. You know, Todd Gurley had a very quiet game, John. 12 carries, 55 yards. There's a report out that he may have hurt his ankle. But the Chiefs defense did a great job on that. It's just they couldn't tackle the receivers. I mean, Reynolds for the Rams had 6 catches on 8 targets. Robert Woods started out well, but then was quiet in the second half. Very Madden-esque numbers. Tyreek Hill, 10 catches, 215 yards.
He's on fire. He's on fire.
If you give this game a carbon copy of this game to me in the Super Bowl, I'll be happy.
Absolutely.
I'll be happy. Any last takes from that game?
Man, you just keep on saying wow. Every time I think about, like, what happened. Like, you look, you go out of the room, like, what happened? They got an interception, and they, what? Huh? You know, it was that kinetic.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to see. Looking ahead for our next week, that here starts in 2 days already. Thursday night football, Thursday football, Thanksgiving, Bears and Lions. I think Lions win this if Trubisky does not play. If he does play, I think the Bears still get it done. Khalil Mack expected to play there. Thoughts on Bears Lions?
Bet the Bears, even if Trubisky don't play.
Redskins, we just talked about the division. Redskins, Cowboys, 4:30 p.m., just after your first meal set in for the day. I said it's the Cowboys division. This is a great way for them to get right back into it.
There's no way Mark Sanchez or Colt McCoy or any other quarterback from that era, they might be able to dig up, is going to beat the Dallas Cowboys. I got the Cowboys. If Dallas don't win big, it'd be a trick to it.
Okay. Thursday night football, Falcons and Saints. Could be another high-scoring game. I'm going to go ahead and call it Saints put up 50-plus in this game. Falcons can't stop anybody. Saints win the game.
No. Yeah, 50-plus would be a mercy killing, yeah. Saints big time.
Looking around at other games, I don't see anything this week that stands out too much. Patriots at the Jets. Watch out for this game. There is a slim chance the Jets could win this game. And I only say that because New England always seems to struggle when they're playing at the Jets. They did have a week off with the bye week, so they have a good chance of being okay with that. But just watch it. It's closer than the experts think.
No way. Tom Brady's back on it.
Giants and Eagles play in Philadelphia. Give me the Giants again. Giants roll up another victory. That's going to be 3 straight for the G-men.
Giants win. Eagles are a mess, man. They can't figure out what's wrong. They
flip
a switch, and they can't.
Yeah. Giants are definitely running into some trouble. Next game, 4:25, Pittsburgh Steelers going to the Broncos. Watch it. Trap game for Pittsburgh. Looking ahead next week to the Chargers. Bigger game. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers maybe get it done by maybe 1 or 2 points, but it's closer than the experts think. Denver has the lead at some point in the second half of this game.
Ben Roethlisberger cannot and not throwing that many interceptions against Denver and expect to come out with a win, not there. They got the better offense, Brandon. I will go with Denver because I think – I'm sorry, I will go with Pittsburgh because I think they're trying to get some games in front of us.
Yep. Another game that was flexed to the 425 game on Sunday, Miami Dolphins 5-5, Indianapolis Colts 5-5. Pretty much the loser of this game go ahead and eliminate themselves from the wild card picture. Colts still have a chance in the division, obviously, but Dolphins at the Colts. I've got Indy.
I got Indy, too. Now, I mean, the Dolphins beat a couple teams. It was surprises early on in the year. They're not a surprise team no more. They are what they are. We should beat the Dolphins.
Sunday Night Football, you got the Packers at the Vikings. This is a big statement game for the Vikings. If you want to get to where you want to be, you've got to beat Aaron Rodgers when you're at home.
I'm thinking maybe Aaron Rodgers got a little magic.
And we go from the best Monday Night Football game to possibly a crapper this week. Titans at Texans. Texans blow out the Titans.
But I don't know, man. The Tennessee, they play different teams differently. But there's no way I can pick them after this best-lacking Texas.
Okay. Perfect there. Moving ahead, looking to our college football slate real quick. The standings came out. The rankings came out. Top four are still the same. Gambling-wise, it was a horrible weekend. I said before you got on, horrible weekend. Got to recover and going to recover hopefully this week. Was a bad slate. Pick'em-wise for us, John, it was actually a good week for you. You went 3-2. I went 2-3. We both missed on the Purdue game. We'll talk about that here shortly. We both hit Notre Dame and Michigan. I missed on Cincinnati. You hit UCF, and then Iowa State killed us both. We did not pick the Ball State game because that already started, and we're not picking the Ball State game this week because it's also already started in progress. So chirp, chirp to the Cards. By the way, that was a great overtime victory. I watched that game last Tuesday night at the end. Chirp, chirp, Ball State going for it at the end of the second overtime instead of just kicking the extra point. So shout out to the Cards for getting that done. Say what?
None. I said Muncie.
Oh. Looking at football, let's look at the games for, you know, I was at the Purdue-Wisconsin game this past Saturday, and that was a game that Purdue definitely let slip. You're up 27-20 with 4.5 minutes to go, and you let Michigan or Wisconsin come back on that game, and you lose in three overtimes. This could be the site. Jeff Brohm era could be ending. He was frustrated. The seniors were frustrated last home game. But the biggest key that they kept talking was this week is the season. The old Oakham Bucket game against the Hoosiers, the winner of this game goes to a bowl game, just like it was last year. Purdue won that one last year at Ross-Ade. This year it's in Bloomington. What's your thoughts on that game, John?
On the old Bucket, I think Purdue beats IU because they're the bigger shambles than Purdue is. Mentally, Purdue unfortunately never could put everything all together. They put themselves in a hole 0-3, and then they obviously rebounded, and even shocked the world by beating Ohio State. And it's unfortunately, their season has been somewhat of a teeter totter of distractions. Now, at it, I know that I hope Brohm stays because seemingly built something here at Purdue. And seemingly would have to restart almost all over to go back to Louisville, even though Louisville is home. I think both of these teams get up to play one another. Purdue's the better team, so I think Purdue will win.
Okay. You know, one thing. Looking at college football this past weekend, there was a lot of games that you had to shake your head and look at. You look at Ohio State, who almost collapsed against Maryland, Urban Meyer, if he wasn't already on his deathbed.
I was hoping. I was hoping he was going to explode, man. He was rubbing. He couldn't believe it. I think he's in Maryland. I know Maryland had a signature win earlier on in the year when they beat Texas. But there's no way
Maryland. IU?
Yeah.
Maryland should not have been in that game.
Right. Never really Maryland should be even close with Ohio State. But they were. And, you know, he got away. Luckily he got away, and they won the game. They figured it out. Because next week, this is the Titan versus the Titan. And this is potentially to see who gets to play. Well, it's Michigan's opportunity because Ohio State would need help in order to get in the top four.
They'll need a lot of help because if you're barely beating Maryland and you're barely beating Michigan State, you're going to need a lot more help than just beating Michigan. Yes, it's going to be a great rivalry game that they play at noon for some weird reason on Saturday. So you have to balance watching that and tuning in to the Purdue-IU game at noon. But I call this the Jim Harbaugh coaching career game. If you beat Ohio State, you keep your job. If you don't, it might be time to leave. If you don't beat Ohio State, this is your one shot, John, to get into the college football playoffs, and you've been good all season, and you lay an egg against a underwhelming Ohio State squad?
Michigan should win, but you cannot. Urban Meyer ain't coming out there to lay down. I tell you that right now. This is going to be a cataclysmic. This is going to be a great game.
Well, going into that, let's go to our picks. You're up three games on me, 53-25. Right now you are. I'm 50-28. First game, Purdue 5-6, Indiana 5-6. I said Boilers, and I think you said Boilers as well.
Mm-hmm. Purdue.
Okay. Number 6, Oklahoma, 10-1. At number 13, I think West Virginia, 2. I'm upset here. I'm going to West Virginia at home knocking off Oklahoma to mess up the little college football standings.
Well, my next question would be, Brandon, if Ohio State does beat Michigan, does that catapult the Big 12 back into the top four?
No.
The Pac-12 can't get back, surely. They're on the outside looking in.
No, Washington State. If Washington State can win, they're right now 6 or 7.
They're not going to let – they'll put Georgia in over them, wouldn't they? Well, no, Georgia would have lost to Alabama.
Georgia's going to lose to Alabama, you would think, in the college football playoffs.
I mean, you mean the SEC championship game.
The SEC championship, yes.
Okay. So if Ohio State loses, right? No, I'm sorry. Michigan loses. You're saying the Pac-12 is back in it.
Let me give you your rankings right now. I'll give you your top 10. Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, Georgia, Oklahoma, LSU, Washington State, UCF, Ohio State.
So it would be
if Michigan loses, if you take out Michigan and you take out Georgia, you put Oklahoma in there, it'd be the Big 12. But if Oklahoma lays an egg against West Virginia and you take out Michigan, Georgia, and Oklahoma, then they're going to have a fight between LSU, Washington State, and Ohio State for that last spot.
Why can't my boys get in the fight?
They only have one good game. They only played one team all year, and that was Cincinnati. You got to play more. Okay, you got to play more.
Alabama played Citadel.
and here's the difference. Alabama has one game like that. UCF has plenty. If you don't like what you're scheduling, leave the conference. Join a bigger conference. I mean, I know you're in the American. But
the Bowmaker's going to give them somebody hard.
Possibly, yeah. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. So West Virginia, Oklahoma, who'd you have?
I got Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Notre Dame going to USC. There is no chance in hell the Irish lose this game because I actually took UCLA to beat USC last week and they did it. So if Chip Kelly can get a win against them, Notre Dame can.
Yeah, there's no way. Notre Dame, then.
And the final game, the big one, Michigan at Ohio State. We've been talking all season long about this game coming up.
All season.
My thoughts, because I talked about Jim Harbaugh beginning of the year being on the hot – actually, you did on the hot seat. We put it on there. He had to beat all of his rivals. This is your one shot. I'm going to take you. Michigan beats Ohio State in Ohio State.
Right.
John,
he doesn't have
who you got?
He doesn't have to blow him out. He just has to win the game. And I got Harbaugh. I got Michigan.
Wow. I really thought you were going to go Ohio State on me just to fuel your hot seat talk. I thought you were going to go Ohio State there.
Nah. Urban Meyer, he's got the better defensive team. And they should be able to shut down anything Ohio State can draw up. Their quarterback for Michigan's play a little bit better, so Michigan should come out victorious.
Okay. Report today came out. Crossroads Sports did post it on their website today. Purdue is considering Butch Jones as head coach if Brohm does leave to go to Louisville. Footballscoop.com had the report this afternoon. Butch Jones, some people remember him from his Tennessee days, also from him coaching the Cincinnati Bearcats, and also, I believe, Central Michigan back when I was in college at Ball State. He was at Central Michigan. Jones this year, you talk about cradles of coaches. He is a special analyst for Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide this year. So Butch Jones' name, throw him in. There was four candidates that they listed Purdue going after. The most notable one was Butch Jones from Alabama. So more to come there. I still do think he's leaving based on the body language that I saw when I was at Purdue this weekend. And your boy, Dan Dockich, posted a report on Twitter through his sources that as of next Monday, Jeff Brohm will be named head coach at Louisville.
Wow. Well, he'll never be able to show his face around here because that would make him a liar. But with all these, you know, hoops, we'll see. We'll see.
He says we'll see. What else we got? College basketball wise, Purdue had a great weekend. Did lose the championship against Virginia Tech. But I like what I saw from the Boilermakers. They had a tough battled back. Carson Edwards is showing why he is one of the All-Americans, playing very well. The Hoosiers playing very well as well, was undefeated until Sunday. I had IU -3 against Arkansas. They did not cover that. They ended up losing the game off of a crazy foul call at the end of the game.
Yeah.
No time and score. You should always they should have taken the last shot there. There is no way Arkansas should have had the ball with any time left.
I don't know where IU is going to finish it in the Big Ten.
I think third.
I think you're giving them a little bit a whole third. Oh man. Well, Michigan ain't that great this year.
Whoa, hold on. Michigan just destroyed a Villanova team that I know it's not your Villanova team from the last couple of years, but Michigan's looking good. Yeah, well, they've got the #3 recruiting class next year. They'll be back. Jay Wright will have that squad back. Now you look at the Hoosiers tonight. They're taking on University of Texas San Antonio. The game just went to half. They're only up by 15. trying to get back on the winning track here. I think now the spread's 26, so they got some work to do for them to finally get the spread. But not looking too bad. Purdue is not back in action until this Friday. They play a 2 o'clock game against Robert Morris. So I will not be going to the one. I'll be here at the house and most likely watching the Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson match online. That should be going on. John, some quick hitters. We did talk about Aaron Holiday. We talked a little bit about Bradley Beal, John Wall. I do want to ask a question about John Wall. What is your where, if you had your landing spot for John Wall, where would it be?
Trying to figure it out. So he'd have to go somewhere. His contract ain't too crazy. It's just the fact that his needs is kind of, you know, who knows what. Washington's kind of stuck with him. I could see hurt player, but they'd have to throw some other players in because they don't make the same amount of hurt. I could see him in New York.
Yep, I was about to say that myself. I could see him playing in New York. What are the Memphis Grizzlies doing going after Joakim Noah?
I don't understand. Well, it's low risk, and, you know, they're actually surprisingly winning games. So
yeah,
it's low risk. So, you know, they just want to see what Joe's got left in the tank. I don't know why Joe's trying to even, you know, if your feet are that hurt, or, you know what I mean? You know.
Yeah.
You're not winning no championship. I mean, I'll just be honest. Memphis win all the games they want. They can't compete. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. One, because this question I'm going to ask you, because I know it's going to strike a nerve. And two, I know you love your rich basketball history. And it's been suggested online. It's been suggested on TV the last couple of days. It'll probably be talked about tonight during the Maui Invitational. And I've been thinking it myself. If you've seen the 30 for 30, John, who has an advantage when you have the 93 Michigan Fab Five squad against the 2018-19 Duke Blue Devils? Who wins that? Or is it even close?
They gotta play the rest of the. They gotta, like, here's the thing.
Talent for talent.
Why are we saluting the 93? What did the 93 Michigan squad win?
They made it to the national semifinals. The finals. Final. They didn't win anything.
It lost by, like, they lost to who? Duke.
93. I think they lost to Carolina. 92 was Duke.
Okay, yeah, right. So, no. Talent for talent? Nah. There's been some other teams that we could talk about before we jump to Zion Williamson and in between, you know, the Fab Five.
Kentucky with Wall, Cousins, or actually the Kentucky team that went 37-1?
The Kentucky team, yeah, the Kentucky team with Towns and that team. Talk about teams that ain't ever, that had a lot of hype, was supposed to win something, didn't win, you know, didn't win at all. That would be one team. I always
Chris,
been a fan of the Florida team that actually won, that went back to back. That was a good team as well.
With Horford, Noah, Corey Brewer,
three pros. I'm trying to think
Who all was on that team? There was somebody else I'm missing. I thought there was four.
Torrey Green tried to go pro, but it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
What's his name on that team? He was on that team.
Mike Miller? No. Mike Miller was in the 2001.
David Lee.
Yes. Yeah, David Lee. That was the other one. Now, I felt like there was another guard on that team. While we're talking, I'll look it up. 2006 or 2007? Which one? Does it matter?
No, I don't know. I like them both. Nope.
So your basketball team here. Ooh, what a great team picture. Corey Brewer, Brandon Powell, Terry Green, Joakim Noah, Maurice Spates.
Oh,
your buddy.
He did turn pro.
His college photo looks horrendous, by the way. My God. And Al Horford. That was your 06-07 Gators with Billy Donovan, who's seen better days. Now, that squad, John, they went 35-5 that year. So they were a number one seed. They received the number one overall seed, and they reached the final, and they beat who did they end up beating in that championship game? Ohio State. That was your Mike Conley. That was your Greg Oden.
Yeah, and they had another guard, Ohio State.
Yes, it was Daquan Cook.
Yeah, he went pro too.
They had Jamar Butler, Daquan Cook, Ron Lewis was a starter for that team. That Ohio State team was, they were good, 35-4 themselves.
There's a lot of teams, like I said, you know, a lot of people praise the, or, you know what I'm saying, we'd love from that era, the Fab Five. And because a lot of those guys, you know, turned pro and, you know, the NBA became stars, not all stars necessarily, but became stars and names and, you know what I mean? But there's some other college teams in between those teams that I would say that, you know, talent can give Fab Five a run for its money.
Now, John, I was too young. I was 9 years old. I remember watching the games, but I don't, like, comprehend it being like, oh, my God, this was amazing. What was it like back then watching that Fab Five squad, those freshmen, do what they did that year compared to what you're seeing so far from what Duke's doing?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm a mild IU fan now, but I was in the glory of IU then. Calvin Training, Greg Graham, you know, and Allen Henderson. That was that era IU, and I wanted us to win because we had a lot of depth. Because a lot of Indiana guys, you know, a lot of Indiana, Mr. Indiana, you know, all stars played on that team. To which I don't even think that's what goes on at IU now, right? But to see, you know, the Fab Five do what they did. I mean, I can't totally poo-poo getting to the Final Four, and everybody here, you know, the main core of the team is freshmen. That is an accomplishment that you can't ignore. But they transformed from a team that still was kind of, you know, I won't say necessarily play street ball on the court, but they kind of, you know, they kind of played a free system, man, because the coach was like, let the best player play, you know, not worry about seniors, not worry about juniors, you know, feeling, and shoot, here we go. And that's what happened. And eventually, but here's what happens, though, Brandon. This is what happens when they ran into Duke. And also subsequently ran into North Carolina. Better coach, better, because basketball is a game. In all games, you know, just like life, you have to have discipline in them, right? And if you don't have discipline, you know, you're going to make critical errors, you're going to make mistakes, Patrick Mahomes, right? So I say all that to say this. I say all that to say this. When they found they got out coached because their team, Duke, was better prepared. They got outplayed because UNC was better prepared. They had the better talent. They had the better talent team. Eric Montrose, God, I love him. I love him. He's from Indiana. He went to UNC, and Lynch played for North Carolina. I can't remember any other pros that played for Carolina off that team that won the national championship. But Montrose and Lynch. Lynch played for the Lakers, and Montrose
was
played.
Jamison that year? No, Jamison was later.
No. That was later. No, George Lynch and Eric Montrose was only pros. I'm not saying pro. Just because you have a pro on your team doesn't mean you got to win a championship. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. You know, that was the iconic Duke team as well, though. And they weren't gonna be Christian Laettner and Grant Hill. After Christian Laettner and Grant Hill and Bobby Hurley had already just beaten not the Fab Five, but UNLV the year prior, you know. So, again, they were just, you know, they played seemingly on the hill. They played organized basketball seemingly off the heels of their God-given talent. And sometimes that, you know, they forgot that you have to be organized. You say you have to be disciplined. And, you know, time out later here and there. That you have,
Oh, your boy, Chris Weber. Looking at another team I thought I brought up, just looking, the 2009-2010 Kentucky Wildcats, they went to the Elite Eight, and people talk about how great that squad was. I mean, they were 35-3. Let me name you this roster. I mean, it was a...
That's the one with T? No.
This one is Darius Miller. He played a little bit in pros for a couple of years. John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Eric Bledsoe, Liggins, he got ended up getting hurt. Patrick Patterson. I mean, there's five guys right there who's still relevant in the league 8 years later. This Kentucky team.
Kentucky team was the one with Teague.
Okay, and that would have been the...
That's Teague and Kid Gilchrist, ain't it?
Yes, that roster is, let's see. Oh, what year was that? 2000.
That was the unstoppable Kid Gilchrist. Unstoppable.
Yeah. I think it was 2011 because I think I was a, working with you. Yes, I was working with you that time. It was Darius Miller, Terrence Jones, Michael Kidd Gilchrist, Dorian Lamb, Anthony Davis, Marquise Teague, Kyle Wilcher. Yeah, that Kentucky team there.
Oh man,
they went 38-2, and that was the year that they ended up losing. Actually, no, it's the year they won the national title. That was the national title year.
They were the better team, yeah. They lost to IU at Bloomington.
Yes, that was their one of their two losses. Them, and they lost to Vanderbilt in the SEC tournament in the championship.
Yeah, but that's one of the most talented
teams I've seen. Okay. Well... if you're listening live right now, if not, then on a podcast, you can catch it later. But Zion Williamson, Dukies are getting ready to play right now, 8 o'clock here on ESPN. They are taking on Auburn. Bruce Pearl, he's got the Auburn team in the top 10 right now, so that's a team to watch. He used to coach at USI, won them a national title back in the 95, way before I was there for a little bit.
It's a team to watch the next year be on probation.
Ooh. I need to put like a little sounder on here for like shots fired, like gunshots. That way when John gives me one of those hot takes, those shots fired, I can just push the little button for it.
That's how Bruce Pearl runs the show.
Ooh. All right, let's create some our final recaps we always do. Survivor Series, did you catch any of it?
Man, I read the recap. And the pre show looked decent, man. But no, that's horrible. That's horrible booking. That's horrible storyline. And I'm not gonna watch it. I'm not watching Raw to take the title back off Brock.
It's happening at Rumble.
It's not like a boycott or nothing like that. It's just like I still pay attention to wrestling. You know what I mean? I still watch. I still read the dirt sheets. I still read the spoilers and whatnot. But I'm not watching that because you can't figure. They don't know what to do with Brock Lesnar other than Trop Paul. Everybody knows him as Paul Heyman. I know him as Paulie Dangerously. But other than Trop Paul out there, come out. Paul is a great character in wrestling. So, but like, when is Brock gonna? Everybody gets a manager. If you remember Brandon, I know you do. Remember Shawn Michaels had Sensational Sherry. That was his manager at first, right? And then he had a breakup because at some point you had to stay out there on your own.
But he went back then to Diesel.
To build up Diesel. But you see what I'm saying? At that point, he became the mouthpiece. Hulk Hogan, mouthpiece. Randy Savage, mouthpiece. The Rock, mouthpiece. I go on and on and on besides performance, what they bring to the show. Even Mick Foley, mouthpiece, and his other dude love, all his other incarnations. You know what I mean? But this dude is, I don't get it. I get
You're
it
over
from
it.
UFC, like co-brand. I get it from a co-branding standpoint. So, like, you know, he's the UFC. He's a UFC star as well. That they are allowed to go back, and you know, he can also do WWE, whatever. You know what I mean, at his own discretion or whatever. But you know, you want to see the champion on the show.
Yeah, that's why you pay tickets too.
Huh?
That's why you pay tickets to go to these events. You want to see the champions. You want to see the belts, etc.
Right. I know people that don't know, talk outside of wrestling, that don't know about the, you know, the deep drama and history of wrestling. They can't believe, hey, what's fake? I was like, yeah, it's predetermined, but there's a whole lot of other things that go on, and there's a whole lot of things that's supposed to happen, even though it's, because it's predetermined. Like, the good guy's supposed to win, so on and so forth, or the guy who's over is supposed to win, and that's not what's happening right now. And it's sad.
This, while we're talking to this, I'm doing three things at once. Duke may win this game by 100 points. They may win by 100. Cam Reddish has hit a three. RJ Barrett's hit a three. Zion's about to hit a three. Auburn has only shot in two shots that have been from 35 feet out and bricked them all. This Duke team, I'm telling you, title.
They can shoot.
Count
them. They can shoot. I wish Gary Trent and those other guys had stayed, because imagine that team.
Hmm. Well, yeah, and actually the funny thing is I just watched the – last week we talked, I watched that ESPN Plus – earn everything for Duke, and they actually talked to Wendell Carter, and some of the players even asked him, dude, do you sometimes wish you would have stayed and, you know, thought about what you've been with this team? He's like, oh yeah. He's like, the NBA is a whole different bear compared to what it is. So much that this, I think if you put a 12-man roster of Duke players in the NBA currently, they could beat the Atlanta Hawks. They would beat the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh man!
If you you have Kyrie. I mean, just think of the Duke players you have right now: Kyrie, Redick, Bagley. I'm sure there's others. I'm just missing off the top of my head. You put them in a game, match them toe to toe with the Hawks right now, or the Cavs, or even the maybe a stretch for the Orlando Magic. But I think they do a damn good job competing, at least. You know.
Yeah, this is a new Duke territory.
Anyways, Survivor Series. I didn't think I would like the main event of Lesnar versus Bryan, because it wasn't believable. Like, I couldn't buy into it. But it actually turned out to be a good match, surprisingly. I don't know if you read the John Report.
I don't, but I read it.
Okay, there's a guy named John Cann. He's a does all the reviews for everything, rates everything. He gave that a 4-star match. I tend to agree with him on a lot of his stuff, and I thought it was actually a really good match. I like Daniel Bryan as a heel. I think he plays the spot really, really well. It was interesting that you still had no AJ Styles, but apparently he's negotiated a new 3-year contract, and he wants time off with his family. I mean, the dude's been a workhorse the last 370-some days. Hold the title.
Right.
WWE-wise for Raw, Strowman, apparently he's going to be fighting Baron Corbin at TLC. He should win that match, and then he's going to be fighting Brock at the Royal Rumble for the title. The problem is right now Strowman's hurt. Strowman's got – he might have a shattered elbow, they're saying, which is require surgery.
Yeah. They've wasted it.
So, and at that point, you know what I think would be a good world title match, that if Braun can't go, you bring in at the Royal Rumble. He's either going to fight in the championship match at Royal Rumble against Brock Lesnar, or he'll come back in the Royal Rumble match itself. Bray Wyatt. I think that'd be a good rebranded him, bringing him back, because he's been gone so long now.
You're going to bring back a Husky Harris?
Come on now. Come on now. Nobody wants to remember that. That's just like Ryback, right?
Bring you back as Husky Harris, man.
Harris. I can't believe you pulled out Husky Harris. All right, now the one that everybody's been worried about, wondering. Walking Dead. Let's hear it.
Dude, I
post
can't
Rick.
Back. I mean, do what now?
Post Rick. First episode you watched, post Rick.
It's still a whole lot of dry. I mean, you can get back into the world. It's okay. With Michonne having a stronger, well, I mean, she always had a big portion of the show. You know what I mean? But like now, Jesus is the leader of the. I'm sorry, I can't remember. But he's leader now.
Hilltop.
And yeah, thank you. He's the leader of Hilltop. So it's a different dynamic. Same world, different dynamic. I mean, little different dynamic, and introducing new characters and introducing trying to. It's funny how they're trying to save people, but they're telling them you got to come with us or else. So
yeah.
They're trying to make sense of their world, and. And I mean, it's cool. It's not. It's never gonna be, you know, like season. You know, season six, season seven.
Right.
But it still keeps interest. It still keeps.
Did you see the spoiler I was talking about regarding the walkers?
No spoilers. No.
No. Did you see them talking in that episode at the end? Did you not watch the whole episode?
I did not watch the whole episode.
Oh my God. Well, I just spoiled it for you. There's some
talk. They're talking to zombies now?
Zombies are talking, but that's what they think. They make you think. In the comic books, there is a group called the Whisperers. Well, that's this next group that they're going to be fighting. And it's the Whisperers who camouflage themselves as walkers, and they act like it and walk like it. They have the same resemblance, but they're a group that infiltrates kind of that area to kind of see – So that's what it is. At the end of the second episode, this past Sunday's episode, they did it again, and that's where Daryl sees it for the first time himself. So that's kind of where it's going to tip. That's where it's going to take off in the next episode.
That's insane. Dude, you don't even have to have. You don't. I mean, everybody thought the world thought you had to have Rick to have a show. And clearly, you don't. But
not anymore. You don't.
He's in there. They're still looking for him.
And last two things. Number one, any truth to the rumor that on Friday they are going to show the new trailer for the next Avengers movie? Have you heard that?
I have not heard that. I have not heard that.
So it would be interesting if they do. Aren't they dead? Aren't they dead? How can they? Last I saw, they were all getting floating away like little pieces of newspaper in the fire.
Yeah, you're really,
spoiler alert.
Not all.
Oh, not all?
No, not all of them. Tony Stark.
Okay. Gotcha. Last thing, it is Thanksgiving week. We got Thanksgiving here in 2 days. Everything we're thankful for, obviously. But, John, what's your top three Thanksgiving foods that you had? It's a must for you.
Top three Thanksgiving foods? Obviously, man, you got to have turkey. I don't know how people... So, like, all parts of the turkey.
Communist.
Well, I'm not that. I have turkey, sweet potato pie, and, tossa. The only time I actually eat cranberry sauce is on Thanksgiving. But other than that, I don't really like it. You know what I mean? It's crazy. That's the only time that it tastes good to me. Cranberry sauce. On Thanksgiving.
And I agree. I like those. I have a turkey, sweet potato casserole, and then I don't know what the hell the difference is in it between dressing and stuffing. I don't know what the difference is in the two.
It's not different.
Those are my three. So, and you know, John, but there's a personal feeling. Me and you going way back here, coming up on the old Black Friday. There's
right.
Remember those days of us slinging those TVs back in the day.
You know, on my time hop, on Facebook a lot, because I used to take a lot of pictures and whatnot. You know, because if you know, one, do you really want to be there away from your parents, away from your folks, if family oriented, or you got to be at work. No, you don't want to be there. But I try to make the most of it while I was there. And you know, when you have great team members and you know, like yourself and like other people, like I remember Cody and whatnot, you know, saying other folks, you try to have fun because you know people, hey, Black Friday, people gonna line up there whether we're there or not, right? So we try to make the most of it, and we try to make things go safely and friendly. And people come up there and say, hey, man, how can I get this 50-inch TV in my two-door Fiat? And I'm like,
oh, I remember that. Absolutely. That your my favorite line of yours is when you say, that ain't going to fit in there, bud.
No, you tell them honestly, man. They don't want it. They just spent all this time and all this money, you know what I'm saying, on this item. You don't want them to, you know what I mean, be honest with them. And you need to tell them, hey, you might have to come back with a bigger vehicle because that ain't going to work out.
That was the best job I loved having on Black Friday. We're just sitting out there waiting for the cars to come back, pick up their TV, and they can't fit it in there. But they're like, you know what? We'll figure out a way. I'm like, all right, there you go. Between that and the other, my last Black Friday I had when I was there, it was about 10 minutes before we opened up, and the whole power went out. You remember that when the transformer blew?
That's freaking. Oh yeah, I do. That's never. You always want, if you're in charge or even if you're working for a company that has things like that. You want things to go smoothly. You don't ever want nothing. You don't want nobody to pass out. You don't want nobody to start hyperventilating or have a heart attack or anything, or have any reason to call an ambulance or police. You don't want any of that. So like a power outage is like the second thing on the list. The things you don't want, because you don't want people in your store with lights out and with potential theft going up and or somebody getting hurt. So luckily for us, the lights came back on.
I think somebody even, I don't know if it was that Black Friday or another one, didn't somebody like urinate in line? If I remember right, while they were waiting to check out?
Just, you know, people get wacky and they don't want to lose their line. And
now, you don't have to deal with any of that stuff this year where you're at, right?
No, I don't. I'm not in charge. I'm not, like, you know, I work for another. I'm not giving them no plug because they don't.
Right.
Crossroads. But I work, you know, I like working for retail. You know what I'm saying? I don't have no problems with it. I don't see it as menial or anything like that. But, no, I don't have to be in charge. You know what I'm saying? Being part of a plan is just as fun. I find it satisfying than actually have to run it. But no, I don't want to run. I don't want to run no plans no more.
Well, that's good. I went in there the other day to your place where you're at now. No plugs, but I was in there picking up a few things and I was looking for you. So I was about to start yelling out in that place trying to look for you. So, but any last things, John's words or anything?
No, I hope everybody has to. I mean, I know it's cliche, but I really hope everybody appreciates the time to spend on Thanksgiving, spending with your folks, spending with, you know what I'm saying, significant other. You know, if you go out and see your friends you ain't seen in a long time, make sure you tell them how you feel about them. You know what I mean? This is what Thanksgiving is all about, at least to me anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a first time meeting the girlfriend's parents. So going to the family, or better, parents, but I haven't met the whole family. I'm going to her family's Thanksgiving. So fingers crossed, everything will be good with that. And I'm sure it will go well, but no, happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. John, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Hopefully you have a great time. Eat as much as you can. Enjoy all the football. And then we'll digest it all, and we'll talk about this crazy week of sports once again. We'll do it next Tuesday.
All right. Hopefully we have a better weekend of college football, man. I thank everybody for listening. And, Brandon, I thank you for the opportunity again, man, to share my thoughts on sports and everything else, man. So thanks again. Everybody have a good weekend.
All right. Take care, John. See you, buddy.
All right. Peace.
All right, that was Jonathan Birdsong. Once again, joining us as always, we'll hit this quick ad and then we'll wrap up for the night. Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top quality drone services with expertise and professionalism, specializing in aerial photography and videography using the highest quality drone equipment. Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's dronepromedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights
to new heights.
All right, guys, thank you once again for joining us tonight for Crossroads Sports Radio. Be sure to follow us on our Facebook page at Crossroads Sports, also on Twitter at Crossroads Sports, at Brandon Reef and at Three Foolish Men if you want to hit up Jonathan. You guys have a great week. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you guys again next week.
Crossroads Sports.